Chapter 32, Psalms chapter 32. And last week we looked at Psalm chapter 30, I believe it was. Psalm chapter 30, and we're going to go to Psalm chapter 32. This evening, and verse number 3, we're going to look at the first four words. There will be the title of the message, When I Kept Silence. When I Kept Silence, but we'll read the entire chapter, and we'll do that after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to us. We thank you for bringing us here this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we have access to you, and you've been gracious to us, Father. We pray that you would help us this evening and illuminate our minds and open our minds up to your word and help us to understand what you have for us here this evening. And I pray that you'd help me and give me the strength that I need to say what needs to be said and to preach what needs to be preached. And that you would touch our hearts and stir our hearts here this evening. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. David is the author of the psalm. It says the Psalm of David, and then it has Maschil, or however you would say that. I'm not sure what that means, but David is the author of the psalm. And David is asking for forgiveness for sin here. He is confessing his sin, and that is what we're going to be talking about this evening. We're going to be talking about confession of sin. Does a Christian need to confess their sins to God? And of course, you know the answer is yes. And why do we need to confess our sins? And David said, when I kept silence, there was problems in my life. That's what he's talking about there in verse number four, verse number three when he says that. But let's read the chapter and then we'll get into the message. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Right off the bat there, you can see that David is talking about forgiveness of sin. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture turned into the drought of summer, Selah. He said, at one point I decided I was not going to confess my sins, but the hand of God was heavy upon me, and I had to say something. I couldn't keep silent. I had to confess my sins to God. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. David's talking here about, I believe, himself, and he's referencing other people here, or just people in general who would be godly, someone who would be upright in heart. And I want you to notice that if you're going to be godly, and if you're going to be upright in heart, you're not always going to be perfect. You're not going to be sinless, but you will be honest. And you'll be honest with God. You'll confess your sins to God. There's a problem in your life and in my life when we decide that we're going to be quiet and we're not going to talk to God and we're not going to confess our sins to Him. You've got a problem if you do that. Each and every one of us have to be vocal to God and tell Him the things that we have done. That's necessary. If you and I do not vocalize our sins to God, our heart can become hardened. You know what you're doing whenever you decide that you're not going to confess your sins to God? You're disagreeing with God's estimation of you as found in the Bible. And you're not agreeing with God whenever you do not confess your sins. You're denying God. I found a quote from an emperor from Ethiopia, and he was an emperor from 1930 to 1974. His name was Haile Selassie. He said, throughout history, it has been the inaction of those who could have acted, the difference of those who should have known better, the silence of the voice of justice when it mattered most, that has made it possible for evil to triumph. He said the reason that evil came in is because somebody was inactive when they should have been active. They should have done something. There was indifference on their part whenever they should have said something. And they were silent whenever they should have voiced something. And evil came in. You know what happens when you and I decide that we're not going to confess our sins? Evil comes in. A hard heart sets in to our lives. Now, silence sometimes is a good thing. Sometimes people just say too much. I bet each and every one of you, you're thinking in your mind of somebody that just says too many things. They say too much. Maybe they might get on Facebook and they just let it all hang out. They say too many things. And you wish, man, I wish they would just ease up a little bit and not say so much, not tell me everything that's on their mind. Sometimes we just need to be quiet sometimes and not say so much. Amen. It says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28, even a fool when he holds his peace is counted wise, and he that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Amen. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. Sometimes we just need to not say so much. It says again in Proverbs 10, 19, in a multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise. Sometimes we do need to say something. We need to say something to God. We need to agree with God that our sin is ungodly. We as a people, and it's just our nature. It's our nature to raise up our voice against somebody else's sin. We can get a magnifying glass and we can look at somebody real close. And we could look at them and we can pick out all their faults and all their sins and all of their weaknesses and look at them and say, hey, look at them. Why isn't God doing something to them? They're sinful. They're wrong. They're doing things that are wrong. But then, on the other hand, you're probably doing the same thing or I'm probably doing the same thing. You see, that's just our tendency. We get that from Adam and Eve. We can thank them for Adam and Eve for that. Back in the garden, whenever they were caught doing something they shouldn't be doing, what's the first thing that Adam did? Well, the first thing he did was blame somebody else. He blamed God. Then he blamed his wife. And then when Eve was questioned, of course, she blamed the serpent. So we always want to shove our sin off on somebody else. We don't want to look at ourselves. We don't want to do any self-examination. We're real professionals at looking at somebody else. We don't want to raise up our voice about our own sin and our own shortcomings in our life. But we must. What matters most, as the quote says above, is not being indifferent about our own sin, which we are many times. We are indifferent about ourselves. We're being silent. And when we are silent, evil creeps in and pride is allowed to flourish in our own heart. It says again in Proverbs 28, 13, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. Try to cover our sins. Man, we're not really that bad. You know what happens whenever you try to do that? The Bible says you will not prosper when you try to cover your sins. And by the way, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but trying to cover your sins, and especially in front of God, is a foolish thing to do. But God already knows what you've done. God already knows what you've done. But David said, when I kept silent about my sin, trouble ensued. Whenever I didn't say anything to God, what's he saying in verse number 3? My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He says, man, I was getting tore up on the inside. I needed to say something to God because I had done something wrong. We must confess our sins to God on a daily basis. But he says, I'm going to use my mouth to speak to God and tell him what I've done. If you want to have a peace in your heart and peace in your life, get used to confessing your sins and being honest with God and telling him what you've done. A man who readily confesses his sin will find these four things that we find out of the text. Four benefits of confessing your sin. Number one, you're going to find happiness whenever you confess your sins. Now, you wouldn't think that. I mean, you think, man, I'm being too hard on myself. I'm downing myself too much. But no, you will find happiness whenever you confess your sin. Number two, you will find honesty because you are being honest when you confess your sin. Number four, you're going to find health. Now, isn't that crazy? You wouldn't think that you'd find health if you were to confess your sin, but you do. It's great for your health. Man, you can get on a health kick by confessing your sin. Number four, you can also find God is your hiding place whenever you confess sin. Number one, you can find happiness. It says in verse number 1 and 2, it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed. You want to be blessed in your Christian life and blessed in this world? Confess your sins. That word blessed means happiness. You're going to be a happy man or a happy woman if you confess your sins. That same word is used over in Psalm chapter number 1. First word of the book of Psalms, the first word of the chapter in the book of Psalms. Blessed is the man. You want to have happiness in your life. If you were to read Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus Christ is giving out the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed, 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 verses 3 through 12. You want to have happiness in your life? My goodness, confess your sins. Be honest with God. Tell God that you are guilty of the sin. He says in verse number 2, he says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Wouldn't that bring some happiness in your life? God is not going to charge me with sin, the sin that I committed. Man, wouldn't that be great if you were able, well, I don't know if it'd be great or not. I was fixing to say, wouldn't that be great if you could do that here in the United States, but we really need to pay for our sins, so that probably wouldn't be a very good statement. But God gives us forgiveness. He says, I'm not going to charge you with that sin. I'm not going to impute sin to you anymore. He doesn't take those sins into account. He doesn't think about those. He doesn't regard them. He doesn't value them. He doesn't reckon them. And he doesn't count those sins against you. Shouldn't that bring some measure of happiness to you in your life? That's what you get if you confess your sins to God. So the blessed man or the happy man, he gains something. What's he get? Well, number one, he gets forgiveness of sins. Verse 1 and verse 5, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Every one of us commit transgressions. Every one of us commits sins. You want to be blessed and happy in your life? Confess your sins to God. Verse 5 again, he says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. He gained something. He gained forgiveness of sins. Amen. That's something to be happy about. So he gained something. He gained forgiveness of sins. So when God covers the sin, he blots it out. He blots it out of existence. He doesn't just cover it up. He takes it completely away and he blots it out of existence. A man who tries to cover up his sin is just hiding his sin. You ever tried to hide your sin before? Boy, it doesn't work too well, does it? Kind of like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Boy, they had done something wrong against God and they tried to hide their sin by sewing a bunch of fig leaves together. Kind of like a picture of self-righteousness. Doesn't work too good. But when God covers your sin, he blots it completely out of existence. It says in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. God said it to Israel, I have blotted out your sins. So if you want to find happiness and blessing in the Christian life, confess your sins. He says there in verse number two, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now we know in the New Testament what that's like. We know the truth in the New Testament about this. God makes a big switch for the child of God, doesn't he? You know what? Whenever you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and you are saved, God takes your sins that were in your account and he puts them on Jesus Christ. All of the sins that you've ever committed or ever will commit, he takes all those sins and he puts them on Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And then he takes the sacrifice and the righteousness of Jesus Christ and he switches it over to you. So there's a big switch made right there. He doesn't impute those sins to you anymore. That's what all of humanity and all of mankind is searching for. They're searching for a right relationship with God. They're searching for reconciliation with a holy God. They're trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to work their way towards God. And Christianity has it all right here through Jesus Christ. You can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Every religion is working towards this end. When sin enters in, sorrow enters in. What do we need? We need happiness from the Lord. People today are looking for true happiness, aren't they? They're looking all over the place trying to find happiness in this world. But they're not going to find it apart from Jesus Christ. They're trying to work towards their Maker, trying to be reconciled to their God. But what do they do sometimes? Or they try to suppress the truth. They try to put God on trial. They try to blame God for their problems. They try to blame others for their problems. They worship other things instead of God, and they replace God with other things. And they think that they will find true happiness, but they cannot. They looked for happiness in their money, in their cars, their careers, their relationships, their dreams and ambitions, and all of their desires. But those things do not bring true happiness. What brings happiness? The Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, you will find true happiness by confession of your sin to God. The only thing that brings true happiness is being honest with God about sin and self. As I said a few weeks ago, the freest person in this room is the most transparent person in this room. Amen. That brings us to our second point. If you and I want to find reconciliation with God, we must be honest with God. He says in verse number 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Do you know what guile means? Well, guile means deceit, something false, a lie, something dishonest, something like that. David said, blessed is that man that the Lord does not impute iniquity to him, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When he says something, it's the truth that comes out of his mouth. If you want to be honest with God and honest with others, confess your sins to him. Be honest with God about your sins. David told the truth about his sin. He didn't try to hide his sin. He didn't try to present himself as something other than he was. He was honest about himself. And he said, look, I have done this thing. I have sinned. I have done something against you, God. He says in verse number 5, I acknowledged my sin. I will confess my transgressions. He didn't try to hide it at all. A story about a Chinese convert, I guess over in China. He had just gotten saved, and he was tempted by one of his countrymen to cheat. Upon his refusal, the tempter asked him, why won't you go ahead and cheat? When he says, well, there's three reasons why I'm not going to cheat. Because you will know, and I will know, and heaven will know. That's why I'm not going to cheat. This applies to everybody. We must be honest with what we've done. Did you know that God already knows everything? He already knows all about our sin. So when we confess our sins, we are agreeing with God of the things that we've done because he already knows. Yet people try to hide their sins. Boy, that's, as I said earlier, that's a foolish thing. We're not coming to God and bringing him new information that he doesn't already know. We're not bringing God up to speed on what's happened. All we're doing is agreeing with God. We're saying, look, this is what your word says. I've done these things, and I'm confessing it to you. That's the honest thing to do. That's the honest thing to do. God is completely omniscient. He already knows. If he doesn't have perfect knowledge of everything, well, then he ceases to be God. And God already knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your intents. He knows your desires. He knows everything all the way down to the deep depths and part of your soul that probably you don't even know anything about. He knows all about it. So what do we do whenever we do something wrong? Well, we just come to God and say, look, I did it. This is what I did, and I'm agreeing with you. You know why people don't get saved? Because they just won't agree with God. It's not because they're not righteous enough. Well, they're not righteous enough, but they just won't agree with God. They don't agree with the Bible. They won't come to God and say, look, I'm a sinner too. They try to justify themselves, as I already said. But the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, this is what happens. We make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. The reason that people don't get saved is because they don't come to God and agree with God about their sin. What they're actually saying is, look, God, you're a liar. I'm not really that bad. I haven't done these things. And they go on their merry way and they say, I'm good enough. I can make it. You know what they do? They wind up in hell because they weren't willing to come to God and say, look, I have done these things. So confession with sin is being in agreement with God's word about our sinful condition. Not only that, boy, it's following our Savior, Jesus Christ, because our Savior was an honest man, wasn't he? The Bible says that there was no guile found in his mouth. Everything he said was the truth. And as a matter of fact, that's why they crucified Jesus Christ. The Pharisees couldn't stand it. They got so angry at him because he pointed out their sin and they said, man, we're not that bad. We haven't sinned that bad. Jesus Christ pointed out their heart and he told them the truth and they disbelieved God's estimation of their sinful heart. So therefore they were damned. Yet I think so many times Christians don't confess their sins the way that they ought to. You know the story about the publican and the Pharisee and how they were both praying together. And the Pharisee said, boy, I'm glad I'm not like other people. I'm glad I'm not like the extortioners and the adulterers and all these different people. Boy, I fast twice a week and I do everything right and I do all these things. And boy, he's looking up to heaven, got his heart full of pride, looking up to God. But then next to him, there's a publican, a real bad sinner. And the Bible says he couldn't even look up to God. He smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says that the publican went home justified rather than the Pharisee. Why is that? Because he agreed with God about his sinful condition. And the Pharisee went to hell, even though he thought he was a good man, righteous man, religious man. You know why people go to hell? Because they won't agree with God. They turn away the Bible. They say, forget the Bible. It's not true. I'm not that bad. And they end up going to hell because they won't agree with God. Amen. Dishonesty. Lying. Right there. Calling God a liar. Calling God unrighteous. You're an unrighteous judge. I'm not that bad. Well, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Amen. He will. He will. When you confess your sins to God, you find honesty. You find honesty. But when you're silent about your sins, sometimes it affects your health. Now, you wouldn't think that. You wouldn't think that just not confessing your sin and holding all your sin inside and being quiet to God and thinking you're not that bad, you wouldn't think that it'd affect your health, but it did David's. Look at verse 3 and 4. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He said, man, it's affecting my physical body. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. He said, man, I'm losing all my strength. I'm drying up from the inside out. God's convicting spirit is on me because I need to say something to him. I need to confess my sins. It was affecting his physical body. David was groaning and roaring on the inside because of his guilt, but God was heavy upon him. You know what happens when you and I refuse to confess our sins to a holy and a righteous God, and you know that you've done something wrong? It can affect your health. A worldly study done by the British Psychological Society in 2000 did a test on people who were harboring guilty feelings about excessive smoking and drinking and eating and fornicating or watching television. It says that those people can become more susceptible to illness because of the guilt that they're holding on the inside of them. Study said one way people resolve their guilty conscience is by looking toward righting the wrongs. Sometimes people seek to rectify wrongs even when they have not created such wrongs themselves. But ending such guilt is important, as research indicates that having a guilty conscience can have drastic health consequences for your body. The study went on to say as well, guilty feelings can increase your anxiety and depression. You know what's wrong with the world today? They're not right with God. That's what's the matter with them. Amen. Depression, guilt, anxiety, all these different things. I'm not saying that it's the sole cause of it, but I bet you it's a lot of it right there. They're not right with their Maker. There's an innate desire on the inside of us to want to be right with God. There is an innate desire on the inside of us. Why do you think so many people are religious? Well, they're trying to get to God. They're trying to work their way to God. They're trying to get to Him. What's the cure? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the cure. But yet we push Him away. We push God away. We don't want to get close to Him. We want to go our own way. You know what we end up doing? We end up destroying ourselves when we push God away. The further you push God away and the harder that you push God away, you're defiling your conscience, you're making your heart hard, and you're not going to reach God. And one of these days it could be too late. If you keep going, keep pushing God away, keep not confessing your sins to God. It says in Titus 1:15 and 16 about unsaved people, it says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They have defiled their conscience. You know God put a conscience on the inside of every person to warn you about things that are wrong. Amen. And when defile your conscience all the time, boy, there's going to be a coming time where you ain't going to be able to get to God. You ain't going to be able to reach God. Amen. What about the saved? What if they continue in their sin and they decide they're not going to confess their sin and live after the flesh? It says in Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. God will chasten you if you live after the flesh. Amen. But we don't have to bear that guilt. We don't have to bear the guilt of our sin. Jesus Christ bore it on the cross. Just confess our sins to Him. So if we confess our sins, we do have a hiding place. That's number four. It says in verse number seven, it says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me with the songs of deliverance. Selah. You want to find a hiding place? Go to God and say, look, you are my protection. You are my righteousness. And you can find a hiding place there. David knew that if he confessed his sin to God and was honest with God, that God would be his hiding place. How was God going to preserve and deliver David? God was going to lead him in the right path. God was going to show him how to live his life. God was going to lead him in the right path. It says in verse number 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. How's God going to protect him? Boy, he's going to lead him down the right path. You want to confess your sins to God? Confess your sins to God and find a hiding place in Him by walking in the Spirit, by following the Word of God. Amen. It'll lead you out of a lot of trouble. We see David's teachable spirit by his confession of sin and his willing to learn God's will and God's way. The Holy Spirit indwells each and every person, and He leads us and guides us in the right way. He shows us what God wants. He shows us God's will, and He shows us God's Word. And God has given us, every Christian, the ability and the desire to obey His holy Word. So He is our hiding place. So I'd like to ask you this evening, do you confess your sins to God? Is that a regular practice for you? Do you confess your sins? Or are you open and honest about your sins to God? Or are you more interested in somebody else's sins? Because that's our tendency. Our tendency is, well, I'm not that bad, but that guy is. You see, we point to someone else. That's what we do. But what I would do if I were you, and what we all ought to do, is confess your sins while you have a chance. Because you may not always have the chance. It says in verse number 6, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." You won't always have a chance to talk to God, but you have one now. You have one every day. And what happens? Like I already told you. You just go on your merry way and you don't confess your sins to God. You don't ever talk to God and tell Him those things. Your heart's going to get hard, and it's going to get harder, and it's going to get harder, and it's going to get harder. And one of these days, you're not going to hear the preaching, and you won't care to hear the preaching, and you won't have a desire to be close to God. And then it'll be too late. You need to do it now. You need to do it now. The harder your heart becomes, the less likely chance there is for reconciliation with God. The longer that you engage in your sin, the more that the Spirit of God is grieved, and the easier that it becomes to sin if you keep going and you don't confess your sin. So call on God while He may be found. Confess your sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've blessed us with and given to us. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We pray that You'd help us to remember to confess our sins and agree with You and what You've said. I pray that You'd help us to be honest with You and upright with You. I pray that You'd help us to seek You out as our hiding place. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.